Thank you, God. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Thank you for the body of Christ, the family of God, and for brothers and sisters, and for allowing us to even be here today, Lord, for giving us life and breath and the ability to get out of bed. Thank God. Amen. We got power. Praise God. In all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ that concerns you. In all things. He didn't say just when everything's going your way, but in all things, give thanks. A lot of times, you know, God's grace is disguised in difficulties, and things that happen in our lives is an opportunity for the grace of God to be released in a greater measure. And even in the difficulties and the trials and the tests and the things that we go through, God strengthens his people, and he grants grace to the humble, to those who are yielded and open to receive from him, to get off the throne of their own life and let Jesus be Lord. Amen. And that's what it is. It's about surrender. We got to give God the whole thing. You know, sometimes we want to make deals with God, and you can have this, you can have that, but you can't have that, and you can't have that. And, you know, I say it so often, but it's very true. And how many have discovered that it's in the areas that we hold back that God can't bless? Amen. If you don't give God everything, then he can't bless everything in your life. Amen. If you don't give him your whole life, then he can't save you. You understand? You try to save your life, you lose it. But if you're willing to give him everything, and sometimes everything is a big word, isn't it? It is a big word. Because sometimes fear keeps us from really surrendering. Fear sometimes is a lack of trust. Would you agree? In fact, it is a lack of trust. There's a healthy fear. I mean, you want to look both ways before you cross the street, right? But when God is saying, give me what you have, give me your life, give me your past, give me your present, and give me your future. Let me have the whole thing. And watch what I'll do with your life. And we're like, oh, I don't know. You can have this, Lord, but I don't know about that. That's pretty special to me. That's pretty important to me. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to keep asking. You know, I'm going to keep coming back, and I'm going to keep asking, because in the areas that you won't let me touch, I can't do anything with it. Amen. You want healing in your life? You got to let them have it. Sometimes we're afraid, you know, and so we hold back from God. And sometimes there's painful areas in our lives, in our hearts that, you know, we know about, but most people don't know about, but God knows about. But even with that, sometimes we have difficulty with trusting God with those things, even those hurts, you know. And giving God access to those deep places and those recesses of our being that sometimes we have buried, you know, and we have masked over. And often even with the way we present ourselves before others, we pretend sometimes that everything is okay when really it's not. And God wants to make it okay. And you and I are limited as to what we can really change. We can change some external things. You know, we can turn over a new leaf, create some new habits, and maybe stop some old habits. But one thing we can't do, and that is change our hearts. And unless your heart is changed, your life will remain the same. You may put on a good front. You know, we could put on a mask and present an image that we think people want to see, but we're not being authentic, we're not being real, and we're actually in a prison of performance, a prison of posing, if you will, to present an image that's not real, but it's something that we perceive people expect of us, and therefore, a lot of times, we're so afraid of what people think that we act, we play a role, right? Role play. So God wants the people that are willing to trust him. That means put your faith in him. And so we say, whosoever believes in him, what does it mean to believe? Does it just mean that I believe he exists? Oh, yes. I believe in the man upstairs. No, it's more than that. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Those who are willing to entrust their soul to him, to give him the whole thing. God didn't come to patch us up, remember. He came to transform us. And he can only transform that which he has. He can only bless that which he has. you have to be willing to give it. Just like the boy with the fishes and the loaves, he had to be willing to give Jesus his little sack lunch, amen, because that's all he had, but in the hands of Jesus, it was a lot. Multitudes were fed because of the obedience and the faithfulness of one young lad that was willing to give Jesus really all that he had for that day, amen? Give it to him and watch what God will do, because trust is more than just believing he exists. We need to believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. If you know that there's something special, there's a treasure that God has for us. I've shared this before, but a lot of times we have this concept of, wouldn't it be cool to be like a treasure hunter, you know? And I used to think about that, being on one of these ships that goes out and, you know, looking for buried treasure or finding, right, the pirate's booty, wherever it was, you know, and... Because, you know, people died in the pursuit of treasure. You know, people would risk their lives in the pursuit of treasure. People will go to all extremes if they know that there is a treasure indeed, that it exists. People will take all kinds of risks in order to get a hold of that treasure. Are you hearing me today? If you really believe that God is and he is wonderful and he is worth it, Amen. He is your exceeding great reward. He is your treasure. Then you're willing to seek. Amen. And you're willing to forsake all that you might have that treasure, because you know if you have that treasure, you have everything. See, a lot of people are so afraid to let go of the temporary treasure. Are you hearing me? Because, well, we're afraid we'll lose if we let go of this. But it depends on where you're sowing it and where you're giving it. If you give it to God, God can do something with it. He can bless it and multiply it. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. This is the principle that Jesus taught us. Amen? And you take your life. You know, he's not just talking about finances. He's talking about our life. We take and we sow our life. We let God have our life. We entrust it to him. Say, Lord, here's the fishes and loaves. You know, I want you to do something with me, you know, because I'm limited as to what I can do. So God wants to take us from the natural to the supernatural. And God's plan, God's purpose is greater than us, isn't it? It's beyond us. What he's called us to do requires his presence, his intervention, his grace. So God has to get us over ourselves and out of that place of fear so we can trust him and say, okay, God, you're calling me out on the water. I've never walked on water before, but if you're calling me out on the water, I'm going. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to sit in the boat if Jesus is out in the water. If he's in the boat, I'm going to hang out in the boat. I ain't going out there with Jesus. Come on, somebody, right? But if Jesus is out on the water, I'm going to go. I want to meet him there because that's where life is. Wherever he is life. And where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. He's our treasure and our great reward. We esteem him above everything else because he is far beyond anything else. We're in this thing to win. Hallelujah. We survived another week. You know, God doesn't want us just to survive. He wants us to thrive, right? We can't thrive apart from him. Again, our fellowship meetings are important, and we should be together, right? And he said, whenever two or three gather, I'm there. Amen? So we should gather together as often as we can. But this is not just a pit stop where we come in, we get fueled up. Amen. And then we go around the track another 500 times and then stop in for another pit stop. Because God has daily bread for us. Dad has fuel for us. Amen. Every day we can come to him and receive all that we have need of. So God doesn't want his people leaking out. He doesn't want us to be empty. He wants us to be filled. Amen. Because we can't show off Jesus if we're not full of Jesus. People are not going to see Jesus unless we're filled with Jesus. And so in order to be filled with Jesus, I can't be filled with myself. In other words, I can't be self-centered and be Christ-centered simultaneously. Either my life is given over to the Lord and He is the center, if you will. I talked to a guy the other day. He's talking about finding a center. What center are you talking about? The center of yourself? Usually that's what they mean by that. You see, you can't make yourself the center and Jesus the center simultaneously. Either Christ is going to be your all in all, He's going to be the center, the foundation of your life, or it's going to be you. And I don't know about you, but Jesus is a whole lot better.
Way better.
Amen. And way better indeed. So God wants us to trust Him. To trust Him with our lives. To trust Him with our days. To trust Him with our future. Even trust Him with our past, meaning get over it. Let Him have it. Amen. Forgiveness is available. Healing is available. You don't have to live in that mess any longer because Jesus already overcame it.
Right.
He overcame the world. He has all authority. He has the name above every name. Do we really believe Jesus is Lord of all? That He has the name above every name? 1 John 5:4 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. New Living Translation says, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve victory through our faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. So Jesus said in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. When we talk about faith, where is your faith? Your faith has to be in God, obviously, right? We know that. That's basic 101 Christianity. But you know, a lot of times we get information and we know the scriptures well, but we're actually not experiencing that. We're not living that. It's not our reality. You can know about somebody, but not know that person. And God wants to take us from knowing about Him, learning about Him, to actually knowing Him, having a relationship with Him, where there is true dialogue. Amen. Not just a monologue, but dialogue. Speaking and listening. God wants to speak to you. And God's going to speak to some of us today, if you were listening. And we just need to be open to what the Holy Spirit is saying. So we need confidence. If we have hope, it changes everything. I want to use our country as an example here. Isn't it interesting? And even the stock market. You look at what's coming across the news, the stories that are being covered, the things that are happening, the things that are even being presented. And then you look at the markets. And you can draw a correlation between what's being presented as news and how it influences and affects people's willingness to either invest or to withdraw from investing in the market. If people are afraid that they're going to lose their investment, then they don't invest. If they feel like the markets are shaky and something's about to happen, and all of a sudden these reports are coming in. They may not be true. It may be completely fake, but they're looking at that and saying, oh, I don't know if I want to invest in that company because I've heard some rumors. I've heard some reports, and I don't want to lose my shirt over this, so I think I'll just hold back. Well, likewise, your adversary, the devil, wants to be a bearer of bad news. He wants to fill you with fear. He wants to tell you something is about to happen, so you better not let go. You better not invest. You might better not give yourself away because you might lose what you invest. God is asking us to give our lives away, to give our lives to Him and for His service. And so the enemy comes along and says, oh, you don't want to do that. Because if you give that away, you're going to lose out. And so if we really trust the heart of God, we'll be willing to invest ourselves, amen, in the kingdom and in His service.
Amen.
So we say that we have faith, but faith actually produces works. Faith has action. Faith has evidence, and faith has substance. It's not blind faith, which would be superstition. But true faith has evidence. How many here are evidence of God's work in you? You are a changed person today because of the working of God in your life. And people can read your life. They can see before, after. Because God has been doing a work. And the only way that God is going to do that work is that you allow Him to have you to work on. You got to be that clay in His hands. You got to be pliable. You got to be willing to yield. You got to be willing to submit. You got to be willing to humble yourself. Say, oh, okay, God, here you go. What are we doing today? Oh, I've never done that before. I don't know. But as we grow in confidence, because we learn of God's faithfulness, then it becomes easier for us to just say yes. Whatever it is, we learn that God is going to back up His word. He's going to do what He said He would do. That's faith. I believe, and therefore I act upon what I hear. You see, faith without works is dead. Now, no one will fight to win if they don't believe victory is possible. No one will fight to win, amen, if they don't believe victory is possible. I mean, you may out of desperation find yourself in a fight where you know you're going to lose, but you're at least going to give it your best shot, right? I'm not advocating fighting, but I remember growing up and in high school and situations arose. You know, I got challenged. I tried to use my head as much as possible in the situation. If I knew I was going to get stomped, I'd try to avoid it. Maybe you didn't do that, but I tried to use other tactics, you know. But if I knew I could win that fight, let's go. Are you hearing me? So, if we're in this to win and we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, He has all authority, all power, and He has given us the authorization to defeat the works of Satan in the earth, He's given us power over all the enemy. Say all the enemy. If we really have confidence that our God is going to come through for us, then we're willing to fight. But if we believe that our situation is hopeless, where there's no hope, there's no confidence. And the enemy wants to sow seeds of doubt. And he wants to present your situation as being hopeless. He wants to present, hear me, a picture of America today through all his little agents that are on the mainstream media that is hopeless. Or he's presenting an agenda and a view of reality that may not necessarily be true, but if that's our only source of news, after a while we're going to start to believe the lie. And we're going to believe that the whole thing is going to hell in a handbasket. And our youth are all gone and everything is lost and everything is hopeless. And why even fight if it's already a lost cause? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You understand, this is what the devil is doing, is he's sowing lies and deception to try to take away hope from God's people. But when something happens and all of a sudden, you know, people start to have confidence, for example, in the economy, and things start to pick up and jobs are coming back and companies are investing in America and people are saying, hey, guess what? Things are looking pretty good right now. It's a pretty strong market. I think I'll invest. And isn't it something how hope produces good decisions? And people start to invest and they reap the benefit. But if you can present it as a hopeless cause, people are not going to waste them time, their time on that. You see, the devil wants you to believe that it's too far gone. That there's no hope for our children. There's no hope for our youth. There's no hope for our society. Why fight? Why don't we just store up a bunch of canned goods in a cave somewhere? Why don't we just run and hide? How many know that God doesn't want us to run and hide? God wants us to stand and fight. Why? Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God has given us divine power, amen, His Holy Spirit, to enable us, to empower us, to defeat not only the enemy in our lives, but in others' lives. Because Jesus Christ has all power, all authority in heaven and on earth. He has been exalted far above all principalities and powers, every name that is named. God has highly exalted Him, you know. And then He told us to go in His name, and I will back you up. Because I've sent you to continue where I left off. But if the enemy can lie to us and speak to us and convince us that it's impossible, it's too much, he's too big, what he's doing is too big, then we won't fight. You know, propaganda can be an effective force in defeating your enemies. You look on the news, you know, sometimes on the YouTubes, and they're presenting these armies, and their soldiers are marching rank and file, and all their tanks and artillery and missiles, and they're just parading all this stuff. And you're thinking, man, that's pretty scary looking, man. I mean, do you really want to come against that? Are you hearing me, somebody? Why are they doing that? Because they're using that as propaganda. They're trying to give you the idea or the feeling that somehow they're greater than you are, and that they can't be defeated. And so what the enemy wants to do is he wants to defeat us in our minds. If he can defeat us in our minds, he's already won the battle. You see, a lot of Christians have already been defeated in their minds because they have believed the lie and they're living in fear, because fear is the opposite of faith. Faith is a confident assurance that God will do what He said He would do. Jesus said, greater is the one, amen, in us. That's what Paul said. But that's the Lord speaking. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Why should we be afraid of our adversary when God has given us the power in His name to defeat every foe? But if you don't believe, and if you believe the lie, if you believe that somehow the devil is bigger, stronger, more powerful, why do you think the Lord called us to battle? He called us to fight. He didn't say, lay down your weapons. He says, rise up in my name. Amen. Preach the gospel. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. He authorized us to do this. And why would he call us to do this and then say, well, it's too far gone? I've heard people say, I've heard Christians say, well, it's going to all come to an end anyways. It's all going to fall apart. So why should we be, you know, involving ourselves in these? And it's almost like, let's just hang out and wait for the rapture to come. Are you hearing me? That's exactly what the devil wants. He wants people to be afraid. And he wants to defeat them in their minds, so that in their minds things appear to be hopeless. Now this is where faith comes in. The just shall live by faith. But the just do not live by sight, but they live by faith. By sight, if we look at the news, if we look around us, we can say, oh man, it's bad. Oh man, it's big. Oh man, it's ugly. Oh man, are you hearing me, somebody? And the propaganda of the enemy continues to pour fear of doom and destruction. You mean you look at these YouTubes, it's all about, oh, they're going to drop the bomb on us. Oh, the United Nations is going to come in and take us over. And all this stuff that you see in there, if you want to believe that, you're going to end up being victim of that. Or you're going to say, you know what? God established this nation on the principles of His Word. Godly men and women. Amen. Came over here in the beginning. And they established a nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. That's actually according to the Word of God. That's what God wants. He's a God of liberty. He doesn't want our nation and our people to become enslaved. Amen. To a tyranny government. God wants His people to be free. He wants us to remain a free nation because America is the number one, still the number one exporter of the gospel of missionaries into all the world. And that's why the devil hates us so much. He's threatened by the fact that we are still, amen, a great influence in the world. So we're either going to yield to the lie and listen to what we're hearing or seeing, or we're going to say, but God said, all things are possible to them that believe. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. So basically what the devil does is he magnifies or makes big evil. He goes, whoa. It's like the puffer fish. It's all fluff, but I mean, he puffs himself up so that, I don't know if I want to mess with that fish. Do we really believe that Jesus Christ has defeated him, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus has all power, all authority in heaven and on earth? He said so. I believe that. It's what you believe is what you're going to receive. If you believe the lie, you're going to fall victim to it. You're going to become fearful, hopeless, and defeated. If you believe the Word of God, you believe the truth, you'll be free. I'm not believing what I see. We got to get beyond what we see. We got to get beyond what we feel. We got to live by truth. The devil wants you to believe your children are a lost cause. He really wants to make everything, the evil, look bigger than it really is. That's why you get a handful of people with a certain agenda and they get a hold of the media and they make it look like everybody believes like that. Are you hearing me? But you meet the people on the street and most people are like, no, I don't believe that. But if you look at the media, and people are funny because we follow people. We follow what's popular. Oh, most people think that way. Well, I want to be like most people. So I think that way too then. I don't want to be politically incorrect. I don't want to be the oddball. Do you understand? A lot of people are living in fear and they're actually pretending even to believe things that deep down inside they don't, because they're fearful of the opinions of men, of being rejected. Well, Jesus was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. There's a cost to living for Jesus. Amen. Now, who are we going to live for? Are we going to live according to the lie, or are we going to live in truth? Truth sets us free. Jesus has already overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. He has all authority. All authority in heaven and on earth. If we are His people and He has commissioned us, He's backing us up. He's not going to send us out there, amen, without His authorization and without His provision. I'll give you another example. Addictions. I don't care what it is. Addictions. Some people have food addictions. The enemy wants to magnify the addiction. In your eyes, in your mind, to be bigger than God. And if we believe that, then we will serve that addiction. and not be free from it. What you believe is what you receive. So if I believe that this thing is too strong, then that will have power in my life. Why? Because I'm putting my faith in that thing that's really a lie, rather than God who, amen, sets me free, who has all power. So if you want to be free from addiction, you've got to get your eyes off that thing, whatever it is you're dealing with, and get your eyes upon Jesus, who is the answer, who has all power, all authority, the name above every name. There is nothing that he cannot accomplish, nothing he cannot do. And believe God that your addiction has already been conquered. It's already been dealt with. Jesus has already overcome your addiction. He has already overcome your addiction. You have to just enforce the victory that he's already won for you.
Hallelujah.
I believe that. I've had many addictions in my own life, and God has set me free because my confidence was not in that thing anymore, but in my God's ability. And when I have my eyes upon Him and I magnify the Lord, you see, as His people, we're called to magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. Why do we do that? Because we need to get into agreement with what is true, and God is greater than the boogeyman. He's greater than the addiction. He's greater than what we're seeing in our society today, or certainly what we're hearing on the news today. God is bigger than all that. He wants to be believed. In Colossians 2:15, Jesus, it says, has already defeated Satan, having disarmed principalities and powers. These are different echelons of wicked spirits. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross. The cross was a victory. The price has been paid. Your addiction has already been conquered. But if you focus in and allow that devil to magnify that thing in your eyes, remember, we don't live by sight, but by faith, confidence that God will do what he said he would do and that God is able. We have confidence in God, then that thing has no power on us. Because my God is greater than that, and my God is in me. I don't have to be bound by anything. So although Jesus defeated the enemy, God expects you and I, this is our responsibility, to enforce what he's already accomplished, to enforce that victory. We are enforcers. And none of us can defeat Satan on our own. How many have realized that already? You can't defeat him on your own. We're basically enforcing on earth what Jesus accomplished for us, because he's given us authority. Okay, let me give an example. A police officer. His job is to enforce what has been established to set laws. Okay, does the cop make the laws? No. He's simply obeying orders to enforce the laws that are already set in place. Okay? So when someone breaks the law, they get arrested, right? Or to be arrested and what? Taken into captivity. Arrested, taken into captivity. Now, hear me, because this has to do with the fact that Jesus is our commander in chief. He has all authority, all power. He sets the rules. And he calls you and I as his representatives, as his people, to enforce those rules. And that means that we should not be tolerating sin in our lives.
Right.
Because he's defeated it. He's overcome it. It's already been taken care of. The power of sin has already been broken. It's already broken. Sin has no power in my life today unless I allow it to have power. By putting my confidence in that instead of God, who set me free. By believing a lie instead of believing the truth, I'm set free. I'm no longer a slave to sin or to fear, right? I am a child of God. As a child of God, I'm an heir. Amen? God's authorized and given me the authority in His name to take control of this body, to tell this body what to do. It's my servant. Amen? It's not my master. Come on, guys. And so Jesus wants His people to understand that you don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in shame. You don't have to live in guilt. You don't have to live in regret. You don't have to live as an addict. Because He's already overcome it. He's got victory over all these things. And then He calls us to go in His name with His authorization by the Holy Spirit. Amen. The anointing of God. To enforce what He's already done. He's saying to His people, you go in and drive out the enemies. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. If we believe, then we will see. If we believe in prayer, if we really believe that prayer changes things, like we got that sign above the ladies' bathroom over there, we really believe that prayer changes things, then we're going to be praying. We can say, oh yeah, I believe that, but your actions will demonstrate whether you really believe that or not. Come on, somebody. It's getting quiet now. Do we believe God has authorized us as His people to invoke His divine influence in the earth realm? To call in the kingdom of God, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth. What's God's will? To destroy the enemy, the works of the enemy, to displace them, amen, to drive out His enemies from our lives, from our families, from our society, hallelujah. If the church would rise up in its authority and begin exercising that and not tolerate the lies of the enemy, not entertain what we're seeing with our eyes in the natural, but begin to believe God that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to His mighty power at work in us, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. I'm not going to believe the lie. I'm going to believe in the truth. God's word is truth. Truth prevails. Truth sets captives free. God wants us to understand that our thought life is key. You know that. What you believe, what you think on, what you dwell on. You know, there's been times in my life when I've gotten into a negativity thing where all I was looking at was the negative and the bad and the what's going to happen. And, you know, my word, look what this is going wrong and this is wrong over here and that's wrong. And, you know, if you dwell on just what's wrong and what's broken, it's going to start affecting you. All of a sudden, you're going to start seeing everything as wrong and broken. Instead of when we see things that are wrong and broken, say, but God came to heal. God came, amen, to change that situation. We don't have to allow that atmosphere of garbage in our homes. We take authority over it. This house will be a house of prayer, amen. It will be a house of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And then we walk and we decree those things over our homes. And we speak those blessings over our children. The Lord will bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up the light of His countenance on you and give you His peace. We speak, invoke those blessings of God in our situation, in our homes, upon our children. Amen. And if we do that, come on, how many know that the blessing always trumps the curse? Somebody curses you, you bless them back, Jesus said. And you'll overcome it. Don't add a curse to a curse. Psalms 34 and verse 3. The psalmist said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name. You look throughout Scripture, there's The scriptures are full of this, especially in the Psalms, where we come before his presence with singing. He enters his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. And what do? We exalt the Lord. We magnify the Lord and exalt him together. Now, magnify means to enlarge, promote, or make a boast in. So what I'm saying, and what the psalmist is saying, is you need to see God in proper perspective. Because the enemy, hear me, he wants to shrink God down to a little tiny God in your mind. He wants to defeat you in your mind. And then he wants to magnify the bad, the evil, and make it look bigger. Why do people worship evil? Because they're convinced that somehow evil is more powerful than God. Many times that's why the people worship the devil, because they think he's greater. They think he's God. Where he tells them that God's not fair, and I'm just, you know, what happened to me is not fair. I'm an underdog and you're an underdog, so why don't we just kind of hang out and do things together? Are you hearing me? That's the devil. We magnify the Lord. We exalt, we promote, we make a boast in God and exalt his name together. That means to lift or set up on high. So think about it. Magnify. That means, like, you have a magnifying lens, right? You're making big. Magnify the Lord. Because let's face it, God is bigger than our imagination. But the battle's in our minds. And so we have to grow in our understanding and our knowledge of who God really is. Through the truth, we come to a realization of who God really is. How big our God really is. How awesome our God really is. How all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent our God is. That there is no power in all creation that can come close to the power of our Almighty God. We magnify him in our imaginations to somehow stretch, to try to comprehend the height and the width and the depth of who he is, the magnitude of who he is. And as we do that, come on, that lie begins to shrink. When we see the greatness and the awesomeness of God, that God created all principalities and powers, the devil himself was a created being, then we begin to see that I don't have to worry about a created being when the Creator is my God. He's with me, he's for me, and he's authorized me in his name to defeat the works of the fallen one. Because we magnify the Lord. And then it says, exalt him. So it means to make big, hear me, and to lift up. Magnify and lift up. Are you hearing me? God. Hallelujah. Because he is high and lifted up. So we need to believe what the word says about God. Amen. And by revelation, as the Holy Spirit begins to show us more and more of who he really is, he reveals the heart of God. Then we have confidence. We have hope in God. Because now we know that our God is not weak. Our God is not the loser. The devil wants to convince people that somehow Jesus is the one who's lost. That the cross was a failure and a victory for the devil. It's opposite of that. Hallelujah. Jesus dealt with sin. He dealt with the curse on the cross. Amen. It's been taken away. He's dealt with your addiction. It's been taken away. He's dealt with your fear. He's dealt with your shame. He's dealt with your guilt. It's been taken away. It's been nailed to the cross. Hallelujah. Amen. It's just taken away. That's what he did. That's why he said, it is finished. I've accomplished the plan of God. Amen. The plan of my Father from the beginning. And now he has been highly exalted and given the name above all names. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of those things, what? In heaven, those things on earth, and those things under the earth. And every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. I'll give you an example. Acts 10:44. The Holy Spirit magnifies and exalts Jesus. If a person is coming in their name and they're boasting and talking about what they do and how godly they are and how they accomplish all these great things for God, be very careful, because the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. The Holy Spirit always exalts and magnifies Jesus. Okay. So here, Peter was boasting about the power of the Holy Spirit, amen, that came upon them. And while he was sharing this testimony before the people, it says in verse 44, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who did what? Heard the word. He was giving the good report, the right report. They were hearing the truth. And as he spoke the truth by the Holy Spirit fell upon the ones who were listening. You see how that works? And those of the circumcision, the Jews who believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. What happened when the Holy Spirit came upon them? They spoke in tongues. They spoke in a language they never learned. It was a supernatural manifestation of God's, amen, presence. And it was kind of like, you know, the Spirit of God crying out, Abba, Father. Amen. And they magnified the Lord. The Holy Spirit always magnifies and exalts Jesus. So this is key. Hear me now. We've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit to see God in proper perspective, to know of His great awesomeness, His power, amen, His love, so that we're not held captive by the things that we sense and see in the natural. We need the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to see things from heaven's perspective. And when we are seeing things from heaven's perspective, then we realize we have a great big God and little tiny devil. You understand? The devil's trying to reverse that all the time. He's trying to get us to believe that it's too much, it's too big, it's too impossible. But Jesus said all things are possible to them that believe. That's why God wants His church on fire. He doesn't want a lukewarm church. Why? Because when we're lukewarm, we're misrepresenting who He is. And it's not, there's no way we can represent Him right or correctly apart from the Holy Spirit, who is the witness, the comforter, amen? And He is the one who speaks of Jesus, amen? The Holy Spirit has been given unto us, amen? And He will testify of Jesus. He will magnify and exalt Jesus. The world needs to hear from God. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that our perspective is from heaven and not from earth. As a matter of fact, we are to live from heaven to earth. We're not to live from earth to heaven. That's what Romans 10 says. Who's going to climb up into heaven? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. We believe, and therefore we speak. God has raised us up together with Christ, seated us in heavenly places, united with Him in the Spirit. We're supposed to live from that realm of heaven, from heavenly places. As we are heirs, as we are with Jesus, as we receive of His authority, because we are under His authority, then we can go in His name and we can destroy the works of the devil. Because we now see things from God's perspective. We now see who's greater. When the disciples came back to 70 and they rejoiced, they say, "Oh Lord, even the demons are subject to us in Your name." He says, don't rejoice in this, but rejoice what? That your name is written in heaven. They saw that God is greater. God is bigger. God is able. And God is willing. God is more than able. He can do much more than we could ever ask or think. Amen? According to His mighty power at work within us. That's why when we sing praises, we magnify, we exalt God, because He inhabits the place of faith. Faith is you and I getting into an alignment, into agreement with what is true. I believe my God is great. He's awesome. He's mighty. But he's also loving. And he's my comforter, amen, in life. He's my guide in life. He's with me. He'll never leave me. What we're dealing with is the spirit of Antichrist. That's what's going on. That spirit of Antichrist from the beginning. But now Satan has vomited himself out all over the place. But we need to look beyond that. We need to know, understand that the one in us is greater than the one that's in the world.
Amen.
Amen. So if we're seeing stuff going on in our neighborhood, you know, are we going to say, oh, what a rotten neighborhood. Let's just move out of here. How about let's just dig our heels in and say, you know what? We're going to pray and we're going to call down heaven and we're going to bind up all the powers of the enemy and we're going to see a revival break out in this neighborhood. We're going to see, that's what we're praying. We're praying for God to move, amen, in America, to move in our city, amen, that he's going to arrest every sinner, every wayward son and daughter is going to be brought back into the fold. Hallelujah, that there's going to be an awakening to where people are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, raised up, amen, and serving the Lord. We're not looking at the way things appear with our natural eyes. We're saying God is greater than the devil. God is greater than that one that's got them bound. And in his name, we can take authority over those spirits and cast them out in Jesus' name. Do you believe that? Then let's do it. Let's pray. Amen. Father God, thank you so much for your truth, your word. Thank you for calling us out, separating us unto yourself and calling us sons and daughters. And giving us the authorization to represent you here in the earth. Lord, we consider it a joy and a privilege to serve you. God, we ask you to fill us with the knowledge of the truth. God, we ask you to fill us with the knowledge of your will. God, we ask you to work in us both the will and the do of your good pleasure. God, we ask you to give us the power of your Holy Spirit to break every chain, to set captives free. God, we're looking to you, we're trusting in you, we're believing in you, that with God nothing shall be impossible. Jesus simply said, do you believe this? And Lord, we're saying yes. Yes, we do believe. All things are possible. Oh God, give us a greater revelation of who you really are. We want to know you. Reveal to us who we are in you, as your people, as your ambassadors, Lord. Hallelujah. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith, but I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. For nothing is impossible. Glory to God. Glory to God. It was a children's song I remember years ago, but it says, let the size of your God determine the size of your dreams. So if you don't see your God as much, then that's probably what you're going to receive in life. But if you see God as being all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent, more than enough, amen, El Shaddai is his name, it means more than enough God. If you see him that way, what you believe is what you receive. If you believe that greater is he that's in you, then you will live that. You will walk that. You will walk free of fear, and your confidence will not be in yourself, but your confidence will be in God. God wants to make you mighty in spirit. God wants to strengthen each one of us with might in the inner man. And that's why we must pray in the Holy Spirit and build ourselves up in that holy faith. Amen. Because it's by the Spirit of the Lord that we overcome. Hallelujah. And we see things from God's perspective.